Good. All right. So we are starting a new series called, we're calling it Good Fruit, right? That's what we're calling it? Yes, nailed it, right? Good Fruit. And our theme for the whole year, and you could even say for like our whole life, is that we really want to be healthy. That we're answering the question of how healthy do you want to be? Because health doesn't just happen by accident. Getting healthy, like you have to do it actually on purpose. That's how you get healthy. And we talked about health is a lot more than just looking hip, width, and wow. It's about being like physically fit, financially fit, emotionally fit, intellectually fit, spiritually fit, that there's this holistic picture of what God is inviting us into, what it looks like to be healthy inside and out. And this new series is like, how do you know if you really are growing? Because you could like think, oh yeah, I'm a really healthy person. I'm growing in my emotions. I'm growing in my like relationship with Jesus. But like, how do you actually tell? And really how you can tell if something's healthy or not is what it produces. It's like what the fruit of it is. Like if you have a tree and the fruit is healthy and good, you could say maybe that the fruit and the tree might be healthy. If it's rotten and diseased, you might say this might not be so healthy. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be investigating. Like there's a lot of things you can look at. We're going to be highlighting just four. And the first one is beauty. That experiencing beauty, seeing beauty, creating beautiful things is a sign of being a healthy individual and a healthy follower of Jesus. And when I think of beauty, I think of two things. The first one I think of is Carlton, of course, easy, all right? That's just like nailed it. You know, you drive into Carlton and you weep, you roll down the windows, you have to breathe in the air because that's the air of success, right? You just let it sink in. And then I think of when I was a kid, and I don't know if I've shared this or not here yet, but it was Christmas, and I asked for a tape player, because that was like the thing when I was a kid, and I wanted my own tape player, and my mom, like, you remember at Christmas, you'd get like presents, and you got like one, like we called it the big present, right? There was all these other presents, and the one big present. My big present, you know, waited till the end, and I opened it up, and there was the tape player, and my mom got a tape of Yo-Yo Ma, who is a famous cellist. Is that how you say it? Am I getting that right? And I, you know, never listened to classical music before. And I heard, I don't know if it was this song, but this is Yo-Yo Ma. And I hit play. I still remember I'm laying on my belly underneath the tree playing this music. And I instantly began to cry. Probably as like a, why are you laughing at that? Ansel is over here laughing. Ah, oh, he's crying as an 8-year-old on Christmas. So, and I wasn't crying because I can still remember. I don't feel like I was sad, but I never heard music like this before, and it was like so moving. It was such a beautiful experience that it hit a place in me I just didn't know really existed. That's beauty. Like last week, we talked at Easter of how Jesus coming out of the grave was a game-changing moment. That is a beautiful moment. And we experience beautiful things throughout our lives, incredibly beautiful things. If it's from like going to a show, like I'm going to a Greg Brown show tonight, and the first time I heard his music, I thought it was beautiful. Of seeing like your kids be born, it's a beautiful, I have a, imagine that, funny story about that. So like, we experience beauty everywhere, and beauty is a reflection of the beauty of God. There's this quote, I actually think we reference it later, but how anything beautiful is like a drop out of the ocean of the divinity of God, of the beauty of God, and we see it all around us. But not just seeing beauty, not just experiencing beauty, but how we can be beautiful, how we can bring beauty into the lives of the people in our communities, in our work, at school. And see, beauty is so much different than just like having like beautiful hair. It's a lot more than just having like beautiful freckles, right? The people with freckles, I just learned today, freckles are in again, right? So like we shall overcome freckle people, all right? So it's a lot more than just getting the nice clothes. Like beauty, what we're going to see here, it just goes so deeper, something that captures you, something that even haunts you. And in my experience, that is a picture. It's like an arrow of pointing back to the beauty of God. And what we're going to be looking through is we're going to be reading through Psalm 27, verses 1 through 6. And here David writes a poem. Really, it's like a song. And like they didn't write Psalms just like one and then two and just like produce it and kick it out like in like 2 weeks, all the Psalms. These are written over years and years and years and years that like capture like the highs and the lows. And what you can see here is how David experiences beauty. The thing that he is hungry for, the thing that he's thirsty for, is probably a little bit different than maybe what you and I would be hungry for. So here's my invitation. Like, maybe you're here and life is complicated. Maybe you're here and life is awesome. Maybe you're here and life is just hard. And the idea of experiencing beauty, you're like, yeah, I do that on vacation. Yeah, I experience beauty like maybe on my anniversary. Maybe like when my friend's getting married. That's when beauty is. But outside of that, I just survive. God has something good and beautiful for you. Not later, but now. So as I pray, I'm going to ask God and like his presence just to be with us because that's a positive thing. And if you would like to experience that beauty even now, I encourage you just like take a risk. Say, God, maybe just for a moment I could experience you. Because I don't know a whole lot. The little I do know is that he really, really loves us. He's got something good for us. So please join me as we pray. So God, we love you. And I thank you that like in the Bible, it talks about how you loved us first. How out of your love, out of like your image, out of your dream, out of your beauty, you created us. You created the world. And so like us just experiencing love with our friends, experiencing beauty like in art, in music, in nature, in food is just a reflection of your beauty. And so we say yes to you. And I just pray for my friends here today and even my friends who are listening on this podcast, God, that we can receive your beauty. We could see your beauty through like the murkiness, through the cloudiness, through all the things in life. We can just pause and see your beauty. And we love you, God. Amen. So we're going to be reading out of Psalm 27. We have Bibles. We're a church, so we're supposed to have those things. They're in the back on that little table, and you can grab them. If you don't own a Bible, if you'd like to take one home, please feel free to take it. You can use your smartphone as well if you'd like. And I'm going to be reading just verses 1 through 6. And it starts like this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who stumble and fall. Though an army besieges me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even though I will be confident. And one thing I ask from the Lord, there's only one thing I seek, and that's that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling, and he will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy, and I will sing and make music to the Lord. So here, David in verse 4, he's saying, you know what? There's only one thing that I'm really, really hungry for. It's like he has this beauty thirst. Right? You ever been so thirsty? Like maybe you're like on a long run, you're exercising, or you're like out cutting wood, whatever. You're just like thirsty, and you just get like in your mind. There's like that like icy cold like Mountain Dew waiting for you, that glass of water, and you're just all you want is to drink it, and it's like you're just consumed with that. And you get to that water, you get to that drink, and you consume it. It brings life. It brings rest. That's like what David is saying. He's like almost out of this desperation. There's only one thing I am thirsty for, and that is to gaze upon the beauty of God, just to be with God, just to experience him, just to see him. That's really all that he wants. That's all that he is desiring. You know, and really, like the beauty is something that I would say most of us are fans of. I don't know too many people that are like, I don't want to see beautiful things. I would prefer the average things. I prefer actually more disgusting things. There's, you know, really, right? But there's something beautiful, like when you see a beautiful person, right? It captures your eyes. It captures your attention. You see a beautiful piece of art. You hear beautiful music. There's something inside you that like yearns for it. But what makes something beautiful? When David is saying like the beauty of God, what makes something beautiful? Because we could just, you know, you hear beautiful, you might think of 10 different things. Like what's beautiful about God? Is it his like mustache? You know, I mean, maybe you picture God with a mustache. You know, is it, you know, that he can like, you know, no joke was going to be good there. So, you know, he's, you know, what makes him beautiful? You know, really, there's several things that make things beautiful. And again, makes God beautiful. But again, like anything we experience beauty in this world is a reflection, maybe even a pale reflection of the beauty of God. And the first thing we see of what makes something beautiful is that it's excellent. It's that it's excellent. When you see something beautiful, you experience something beautiful, you do what? You go and you tell your friends, like you gotta go to this restaurant. You gotta see this movie. You gotta go. It's like when we went to the sand dunes in Colorado. When we were like our friends were saying, "Hey, we're going to the dunes." I'm like, "Ah, okay, that sounds awesome." It's like an hour and a half drive, and where I'm like thinking we're gonna like just go see big piles of sand, right? And I'm like, "That's like Chubb Lake. Hello, you know what's better than that?" And when we pulled up and all of a sudden you could see these humongous, like almost like mountains of pure sand right in the middle of the Rocky Mountains, it like captured me. And I thought, that is the most of something. That is a beautiful thing. That is an excellent, excellent thing. See, beauty is excellence. We were created to experience excellence because we were made in Genesis. In the beginning, when it talks about how God made the heavens and the earth, he made it out of himself, out of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, out of like that furnace of beauty and love comes earth. And then he creates women, he creates man, and he says what? It is good. God looks at what he made and he looks at us and he goes, it is good. It is beautiful. We were made to run on excellence. We were made to spend life with Jesus, to share life with God, to walk, to talk, to hang out, to, you know, experience life, to work hard, to laugh, to cry, best times, worst times. All of it was meant in direct relationship with God. That is what we are hungry for. And why are we hungry for excellence? Why are we hungry really for heaven? Because that's what you're created for. Like, it just doesn't change. That's why we still yearn. That's why when we, like, sing that song, "You're a good, good father," we worship. Why does it feel good? Why does it feel, when you're at a wedding, why does it feel right? Why do you, like, get emotional? Why do you tear up? Because you were created to experience something excellent. That's God himself. So beauty is excellence. I mean, think about this, right? When I was writing this, I started thinking about, like, what are some of the most beautiful things I have experienced? And one of the first things I thought about was, you know, my kids being born. And, you know, if you have kids, right, you're going to say, oh, the birth of my child, it was a beautiful thing. But if you, like, take a step back out of, like, your experience, and you just like, say, you look at all that's happening, you might not, like, always describe, like the whole birthing process as, whoa, wow, it is so beautiful, right? Like, when when Cole was born, right? And if you don't know this about me, I'm a high feeler, so I will cry, all right? I'll, like, watch a commercial, and there's, like, a little daughter walking, and she's like, oh, Dad, I love you. I'm like, oh, I love my kid so much, right? And so you can imagine during this whole birthing process, I'm just trying to see if my wife's in here or not. So I don't think she is. So I can say whatever I want. All right. So when Cole was born, full disclosure, I had no idea what I was getting into because during all like the classes and the videos, I just pulled my hat over my head and went through like fantasy football stats, just like go to my happy place, go to my happy place, go to my happy place. So no idea what I was getting into. Zero. And so when Cole was born, And the nurse or the doctor, and I see my son, he is beautiful, absolutely excellent, almost perfect, right? But again, take a step back, right? He's got those big black eyes, right? And then like his head was like, I didn't know the head like got long. And I'm like, I'm like, what is going on? This doesn't look like a baby, you know? And you know, people are like crying and the baby's screaming and, you know, other people in the room are like breathing heavily and, you know, right? We would never say, like you would say that is absolutely a beautiful thing. But why is it beautiful? Because it's perfect? Because it looks perfect? Because everyone's smiling and saying, oh, what a beautiful child. Oh, wow, that is a really, really cool thing you're wearing, Chris, all right? No, it's beautiful because it is excellent. It is the most of something. In that moment is life, right? That's what makes it beautiful. So then, like, go on, right? Like, if you have kids and or you have family or you have friends and they have those music concerts, like, probably up here, they're, like, in second grade and they're going to sing a song, right? At our school, at the school my kids go to, they pack out. They pack out the auditorium. Grandparents and uncles and neighbors just come in and they are, like, fighting for, like, the first couple of seats. They are pushing people to the ground so they can take their iPad up and take pictures of it, right? Why do we all flock to these things, right? Is it because the music, it's like the three tenors singing, right? Is the music program like world-renowned music and people are like crying at the beauty of that song? Look at that harmony. Do you hear that, right? Is that what makes it beautiful? You know what makes it beautiful? That is excellent of what those kids are doing. It is the most of the innocent little themselves talking about the kite in the sky and the birds and the rain, all right? And you hear it and it hits right because that's your child. That's your friend's kid. It doesn't have to be like perfect music to make it excellent. You see the difference? Like when I played in world famous Carlton Jazz Band, right? And I played trumpet and, you know, like my mom and dad, you know, I doubt that they came to like and tell their friends to come. Like, you can't, if you don't hear Chris play the trumpet, whoa, you're missing out. Let me tell you, I don't know how you sleep at night if you don't hear Chris play the trumpet, right? But they probably came because I was giving my best, and I was pretty good. Let me tell you. All right, so beauty is the most of something. It is excellence. We yearn. We are thirsty for excellence. And this is what makes like the person of Jesus even more beautiful. Because Jesus came in excellence. He came in perfection. He was excellent at the things that we strive for and the things we're thirsty for, we just can never get. Things that we can never just land. Like he came and lived a perfect life, a beautiful life, an excellent, the most of life. And why? So that we can experience the excellence. We get to receive the benefit of all that excellence, of all that perfection. Instead of holding on to himself, right? Instead of holding on and saying, oh, look what I did. I'm so much better than you. You guys couldn't do this, but I can. Woo, party. What he does, he goes to the cross in our place. Absolutely perfect. And he does it, why? Out of love. He does it so we can experience the beauty of what it looks like to have a perfect relationship with his Father. So what David is saying, he said, I want to gaze on the beauty. Part of it is saying, my heart longs for excellence, the most of something. But the second thing we experience then is in beauty is attractiveness. So there's the excellence, and then there's attractiveness. In beauty, there's something that grabs you. It almost haunts you. Something that like lures you in. Like, for example, like, I love my wife. Love her. Big fan of my wife. I'm incredibly, incredibly attracted to my wife. And I am attracted in that way. All right, yeah, woohoo. But also, can I do that? Can I say I'm attracted to my wife in that way and then woohoo? And that's appropriate. But I'm also attracted. There's something inside me that is drawn to my wife just to share life with her. Like, when I see something funny, I want to experience that with her. When I see, like, I read a great quote out of a book, like, I just want to share that with her. It's the beauty of my wife. It attracts me to want to be even closer to her, to share even more life with her. Like beauty then can draw, like it like reorientates your life to pursue that. Like when you first fell in love, you would run through walls to be with that person, right? Because you are attracted to them in every part of you. So like think about times where you've experienced beauty, like laughing with friends, right? Who here loves laughing with their friends, right? It is a beautiful thing. It, regardless if it's like the laugh, like he, right? Like a little bit of laugh, or it's like the milk coming out of your nose, falling out of your chair, kind of laughing. When you have that kind of rich of experience, it is attractive, right? It's beautiful. You want even more of it. You know, I've never met anyone who's like laughed really hard and stopped and says, okay, I will never laugh like this again. I've reached my top. I'm good to go, right? Like, I when I think of laughing really hard, a beautiful moment, we were at a cabin with some of our friends, and we were talking about, like, when we were kids and what did you do for fun, and somehow we got on this idea of, like, do you remember when you used to run and, like, slide on your belly, right? You remember that? And, again, this is, like, 2 years ago, maybe, so, like, we're grown adults, and there's this long hallway that was wooden floors, and we're like, what? When's the last time you slid on your belly? And, you know, like, I don't know, like maybe I was 4. And so there was 4 of us, and the first 3 of us all did it, and we're all laughing. And I have this on my iPhone. We're all laughing and giggling, watching, you know, my friends, like, run down and be like, wee, right? And then my last friend, right, the last one that went and ran, and then, like, instead of just, like, going for it on their belly, they'd run, and then they would, like, slowly, like, get down. We realized that they could not slide on the belly. Their brain and their body just could not communicate. It was physically impossible for them to do it, right? And then we laughed even more because that's what good friends do, right? And I think when I'm, like, maybe doing dishes or when I'm just, like, in the, you know, like the average part of my day, sometimes that pops in my head and I have a beautiful moment. Like, oh, that felt so good. Man, I love my friends. God, thank you that I have life-giving friendships. God, thank you that I can laugh myself silly. That feels good, doesn't it? And that's attractive to me because then it's like, oh man, we haven't laughed like that for a while. When you are attracted to something, then I'm beginning to rearrange my schedule, my priorities, my finances. You know, like my priorities begin to change a little bit. Why? Because I want to experience that again. I want to experience that beauty because it is attractive. Like, when's the last time that when you think about God, you think about him being attractive? Like, when's the last time that, like, you thought about the beauty of God, experiencing maybe at worship or maybe, like, reading the Bible? Does the Bible seem beautiful? Like, to be honest, sometimes for me, it's not. But man, when I have times when I can open it up and I see Jesus, like, in the Bible, and it hits me in that right place. It's like that Radiohead song, like, everything in its right place. Those are, like, beautiful moments. Like, I want to be attracted to the person of Jesus. Like, where it moves me, where it reorientates my life, not just out of duty, not just out of, oh, I probably should do it, but where I do it when I think, when I'm washing dishes, saying, oh, God, I want to laugh with you. I want to be with you. Why? Because you are absolutely beautiful. This is what David is talking about in Psalms 27. He's attracted. He's attracted to the beauty of God. So there's excellence, there is beauty, and lastly, there is satisfaction. There is pleasure. When we think of beauty and you use the word pleasure, we'll usually go to some sort of sexual experience, right? But there is, when you experience beauty, when you take in a piece of art, right, there is, it evokes some sort of satisfaction, some sort of pleasure in your life, and that is a positive thing. That's part of what beauty is. Like, think about this: when you're stressed, when you have anxiety, or maybe you're grieving, and you have like let's raise a hand. Who has a happy place? There's a place you go to, right? Raise your hand. All right, maybe your happy place, right? Maybe your happy place is like going on a walk. And looking at Lake Superior. And you just, like, when you see that beautiful thing of water, body of water, it, like, does what? Brings satisfaction. Maybe it's that certain part in the house, and you can sit down, enjoy a cup of tea, and look out the window. I know my wife, who still isn't here, so good, I get to talk more. So for my wife, one thing that she talks about is that there, at one point, was this cardinal at our house. I'd fly around, and she called him Red. And she talked about when she'd see Red, she felt at ease. She felt peace. You know, when you experience beauty and the satisfaction, it like re-centers you, almost reorientates you. Like maybe for you, it's like maybe it's the chair in the house, or maybe it's like that dark glass of red wine and jazz music. Maybe it's going for a run. Maybe it's reading the same book over and over and over again because it hits something deep within you. That's beauty. And we need those places, right? We need those places of where we can look, where we can just enjoy the beauty of creation, the beauty of art, the beauty of a song, because it satisfies us. It's pleasurable. You see, there's this quote, and this guy named Dane Ortlund, and he did his whole book based off of Jonathan Edwards, of not the politician, like a theologian and a preacher, and he spent a lot of time speaking and inviting people and sharing life with people all about the beauty of God. And in his book, Dane describes about what beauty looks like. True joy derives not from God and job, family, sex, friends, food, rest, driving, buying a home, reading a book, drinking coffee, but from God in these things. Every taste of beauty in this world, from the roar of waterfalls to the chatter of birds, to the richness of true friendship, is to the ecstasy of a sexual experience, is a drop from the ocean of divine beauty. Every pleasure is an arrow pointing back to him. Joy is from and only finally in God. Love that. See, beauty, pleasure, something satisfying, isn't God and like the perfect chocolate cake. It's not God and Lake Superior. It's being able to see those things and be present with God and be able to see God in the sunset. Being able to see God as you drive through and you see the Water Tower of Carlton, right? You're like, that is beautiful, right? But isn't it true? It's easy to think there's beautiful things and then there's God. There's really, really good things and then there's God. Oh, yeah, God, you're good. It's like when your friend's like, hey, how do you look? You're like, oh, yeah, you look pretty good, right? Oh, I'm happy for you. Like, we experience that deep satisfaction of when we can see Jesus, like, in all of life. There's something beautiful. And that's what David is talking about. So, but here's the trick. Because I don't know about you, but when I think about David saying these things of all I want is to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, it's like, oh, David must have had it pretty easy. Because when do I want to experience beauty? It's when I'm somewhere else. It's when work is over. It's as I'm driving or I'm on vacation or, you know, the stress level has now gone down and anxiety is at bay. So now I can look for something beautiful. That the ways we experience beauty is in when we are in perfection, when we're experiencing the good life. But David, like even in the psalm, it's like not true at all. I think I called it being friends with reality. Like look at the verses here. Just what we read. Verse 2, when the wicked advance against me to devour me. Verse 3, though an army besiege me. Verse 6, my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. What he's saying is, in the midst of all this attack, in the midst of all this anxiety, in the midst of all this fear, even though I'm being surrounded, what's the one thing that he wants? If it was me, he'd be like, hey, God, can you get me out of here? How about you spare my life? How about you kill all my enemies? And in other psalms, he does talk about it, to be fair. But what is he saying? As I'm surrounded, as there's probably some sort of fear, as he's probably even exhausted, maybe even doom is like certain, what does he ask for? He says, all I want to see is the beauty of God. See, we can experience this beauty, this excellence, something attractive and pleasurable, not just when your kids go to bed. Isn't that the truth? You think what? I just have to survive. Not just when you get through that project at work. Not just when you get that debt paid off. Not just when the car begins to stop making that sound. It's like in the moment of real life, God is saying, gaze upon me. Why? Because you were created for this. And I have something beautiful. I have something life-giving for you, not just later, but right now. There's this story of this missionary, and his name is Alan Gardner. And he wanted to be a missionary in South America, and he was leaving England. And this is like in the 1800s, right? 1851. And so when you become a missionary at this time, you leave everything. You leave your job, your reputation, your money. You just leave it all behind. He hops on a ship, and he's heading for South America, and he never makes it. The ship, shipwrecks, and he's all alone on this island. Almost like, sounds like a movie, right? He's on this island alone. And when they found him, he was dead. No one came for him. Because when you become a missionary from England to South America on this ship, they're like, good luck, go for it. So they find him later, and he died from starvation or thirst or a combination of both. Doesn't sound like a good way to go, right? And so they found in his journal, he had his journal, and he was studying Psalms. And what they found was the psalm that he was meditating on, he was going over and over again, was Psalm 34:10. And it says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And his journal, right underneath it, this is what he wrote. I am overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God. Now, how can a guy who left everything behind give up everything that he had so he could do what? The Lord's work. I'm going to do it for Jesus. I'm going to do it for God, right? And then he never gets to the very thing that he was called to do. I imagine that he probably had some sort of like aha moment, a game-changing experience, saying, this is what I'm for. I'm going to go do it. And as he's going there, everything falls apart. And then he's abandoned on an island. And he dies. And the last thing he writes is, I'm overwhelmed by the goodness of God. It sounds different. It doesn't even sound right. I imagine I'd be bitter. I imagine I'd be like, you called me all, I left laughing with my friends. I left the comfort of my home, of my reputation, all that, so I can just die alone, hungry and thirsty. But he does something different. He says, overwhelmed by the goodness. And why is that? Because when we just pursue God to get something out of it, we miss the point. When we just say, I'm just going to do this so God can help me do my job. I'm just going to do this so I can get this in result. That's really what religion is. Religion really is, I will do X, Y, and Z, and then God, you will do A, B, and C. And if I hold up my end of the bargain, you better show up. And I'm going to do this well because I want to even get more of God. And the better I am, the better he is. That's what religion is. What Christianity is all about, what life with Jesus, being a Jesus-looking person, means I do all of these things. Why? Because the best thing I can get is God himself. David's saying, the one thing I want, the one thing I seek is the beauty of God. And that is enough. For this guy, it was enough. That's what I want. It is so easy to get like wrapped up in doing things. It gets so easy wrapped up in just performing things. I want to be so like drawn in by the beauty of God that it's the one thing I dream about. It's the one thing I crave. It is what reorientates my whole entire life. Why? Just to see the beauty of God. And why is it? Because it is the best. I feel good. You know what we call that? We call that worship. That's really what worship is. It's reorientating. It's putting something at the middle of your life is what, and you orientate your life around it is what you worship. The beauty of God. One of the ways you can tell if you are like a healthy follower of Jesus is do you experience that beauty? Do you see the beauty of God throughout your day? Do you see it through like the patients you see at the hospital? Do you see it like in like you hear it in the songs, the radio? Do you experience it as you eat your dinner? Do you see it as you laugh around the table with your friends? There is an opportunity for you. And for me, where we can experience that beauty. And when we do that and we can point it and see it's a reflection of the goodness of God and we can begin to worship him in that way by looking for beautiful things, oh man, it's a game changer. So let me end with this. And this isn't up on the notes. This is something else. Here's what I'm going to invite you to do. Not just experience the beauty, not just look for the beauty in God, but let's be beautiful. Like, let's be beautiful people. And that's not perfect hair, perfect teeth, right? Nice looking shoes. Being beautiful people means that we can speak beauty, we can recognize beauty, we can notice beauty in the people around us. That we can, like, we can create beautiful things. Like, whatever it is that you are, like, if part of beauty is being excellent, what are you excellent at? If you're excellent at, like, thinking through equations, if you're excellent at baking bread, if you're excellent at telling jokes, if you're excellent at creating things out of wood, if you are excellent at painting a picture, if you're excellent at singing a song, let's create beautiful things and invite people to be in it with us. Like letting people in on the beauty of your life. You are excellent. There's people here, you are excellent at sharing a story. Let's create beautiful things and let that beauty point back to something even more beautiful. And then lastly, let's like champion beauty. I'm in this boat as well. It is easy in our friendships to like, instead of speaking of beauty, instead of championing beauty, instead of pointing beauty, we point to what? Oh man, you're bad at this. Ha ha. Right? Hey, look, you got spinach in your teeth. Ha ha. Right? Sometimes it's easy. And why is it easier to default to not saying something or ripping on someone or being sarcastic? Right? It creates the same amount of energy to speak of something beautiful, to encourage a friend, to look at someone, to look at your spouse and say, man, you look gorgeous today. You look beautiful today. I know in my life I could do a better job at speaking beauty in the lives of the people around me. I don't know where I learned this, but someone I read or I heard, they talked about with your kids, and they mentioned especially daughters that dads can have an incredible impact on their daughter's life if they remind them that they're beautiful. I tell Kira almost every day, Kira, you are smart, you are confident, and you are beautiful, and you're deeply loved by Jesus. And it's to the point now where she's like, oh, Ira, oh, Dad. Right? And I'm intentional about it. But what would it look like if, does that sound weird to you? Walking up to a friend and saying, like, Nick, you are beautiful today. Walking up to your brother and saying, like, you are a beautiful person. The way that, like, my brother loves his son Ezra, it is a beautiful thing. Like, what if we just paused? Because you know, when we do that, what we're doing is we are acting in the same way God does. Because when God looks at us, he doesn't say, should have tried harder. If only, like, you had a little bit more hair. If you didn't tease Chris on stage before you got up on stage, maybe it could have been better, right? That, no. Joking. That's not what God does. What God looks and he sees is you are beautiful. That you are good. And you are deeply loved. What if we could just play that game? Here's my encouragement. Today, just one time, try saying something beautiful to one person. When I marry people, I say that my daughter's like, I thought you married mom. So when I officiate weddings, we're not like that, where we just marry a bunch of people. So I will, before I'm done with the wedding, I will encourage people to speak blessing instead of curse. Because at weddings, it's easy to what? Walk up to the groom and say, oh, you're doing time. There's the ball and chain. Yuck, 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 all right? It's easy to do that. Why? Because it's a cheap laugh. That's why. It is a cheap, cheap laugh. And what you're doing is you're speaking a curse. Like, what if just try today? Take a moment, get quiet, pause and say, God, I want to see your beauty. I want to see your beauty in my friends. I want to see your beauty in my kids. I want to see your beauty in my neighbors. I want to see your beauty in this meal. I want to see beauty around this table. And then when you see it, speak it. Speak it out loud. It's a way of speaking life. So here's what I want to do. I want just for like a moment for us as a community, and maybe even for you as an individual, just to experience that beauty of God. Because, you know, when we take a little time and we recenter ourselves and we quiet ourselves and then we ask God to do something, he loves delivering on that. So I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to ask God just to, like, bless us. I love that. Overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God. Let's pray. So God, that's what we are thirsty for. That I want to be overwhelmed by the goodness and the beauty of God. That the one thing that we want, the one thing we are thirsty for, the one thing that we seek is to gaze upon your beauty. Just to get even a glimpse of it. Will you do that now? Holy Spirit, will you come? And I just get this picture of like the ocean, just wave after wave comes, and it never stops. I pray for my friends here, my friends listening to the podcast right now, just the waves of the beauty of God will come. And there's some people here, you believe this lie that says, no, I get one wave. All I deserve, all I'm entitled to, I just get one little thing of beauty. And what God is saying, that's you, just receive this. God is saying, you get all that you want. Because my beauty never ends. My goodness knows no bounds. It will come again and again and again and again. So I pray that over my friends right now, God, that we would experience that beauty and that goodness. And will it hit the places in our heart that where we feel ugly, where we feel shame? I brought up parenting a lot because as I was praying, I just felt the idea of being beautiful and being a mom, of being beautiful and being a dad. There is people here, there's a lot of shame on you. And I just say, no, that is a lie from the pit of hell. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. So let your beauty sink deep, Lord. And lastly, God, will you use us to bring beauty just into like the nooks and crannies and the pockets in Carlton County, in St. Louis? Like, I just think of like at schools, at work, maybe even parties this afternoon. God, we can walk in and what we bring with us is the beauty, the excellence, the attractiveness, and the satisfying of God himself. Use our hands, use our stories, use our dreams, use our words, God, to let beauty be the song that people hear. We love you. Amen. So here's what I'd love to have you do. I just had a conversation with a friend that started coming here about ministry time. Our ministry time, our people can come to the front. We take time every single week to pray for one another because we believe that life shared together is a lot better than doing it alone. And when we talk about we experience God, we really believe that God comes to us because he loves us. And so they just take a little bit of time to hear your story, look in your eyes, and then ask God to do good things in your life. And so as we've been talking about beauty, there might have been something that hit you where you thought, I want that. I want to experience beauty like that. I would encourage you to come up to the front. Can we have anyone else who's trained on how to pray? Please come on up. And if you would like someone to pray with you and experience that beauty, now here's the honest truth. I've heard this time and time again, is people say, I want to come and get prayer. Let me say this. By coming up to the front doesn't mean that you are like the beautiful people then and like, well, I'm clearly better than everyone else because I came up to the front. That's not how it works. But when I've talked to people getting prayer, they're like, I want to come up and get prayer. Something inside me longs for that, but I never want to be the first one. It's true. It's true. You never want to be the first one. But in my experience, when I've responded to like God's invitation to get prayer, there's never been a downside. Never been a downside. So if you'd like to experience that kind of beauty, man, the people up here would love nothing more to pray for you. If there's anything else going on in your life, like maybe some financial stuff or marriage, or maybe you just want to experience God more, we'd love to pray for you. Thank you so much for coming to Cloquet Vineyard and spending Sunday morning with us. Have a great rest of your weekend.